Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. For the rest of the hour, we're continuing our tree theme today by checking back in with historian Jim Powers from the IMAG History and Science Center to find out the backstory to the city of Fort Myers nickname, the City of Palms. Jim, welcome back to the show. Thanks for sharing your historical insights with us.
Thank you, Mike.
And out there, if you'd like to join our conversation before the end of the hour, give us a call. The number's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. If you'd like to ask a question on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. So, Jim, anybody who's been to Fort Myers knows the McGregor Boulevard. It's the iconic image of the City of Palms. Is there a connection, a direct connection between that boulevard and that nickname?
Oh, absolutely. But, you know, Mike, that's not the beginning.
Okay. Well, bring us back.
The beginning happens to be around the year 1898.
Okay.
When a fellow by the name of Hugh O'Neill, that's two L's, who was a Scotsman and a very successful immigrant who came to Manhattan and had the largest department store in New York with 3,000 employees.
Oh, wow.
Fell in love with Fort Myers.
Okay.
He built, as an investment, of course, a large hotel, and that was called the Fort Myers Hotel.
Okay.
Well, he landscaped it with royal palms.
Mm-hmm.
And very quickly, he had to rename the hotel the Royal Palm Hotel.
Okay.
Now, these palms, these royal palms, were so attractive that they ended up decorating First Street.
Mm-hmm.
And what we have today are actually a number of photographs that are very popular among people who like the old photographs for decoration purposes that are mistaken for McGregor Boulevard.
Oh, because First Street looked like McGregor looks
exactly.
Now.
Exactly. And when I look at a photograph, of course, that historical detective business, you know, I look at whether or not it's a macadam road or a brick road or and how it's formed and where sidewalks are, et cetera. But some of the more famous pictures that we credit to McGregor Boulevard are, in fact, First Street.
Are royal palms native?
Royal palms are native.
Okay.
Of the 12 species of palm trees native to Florida, you'd think the coconut was, and it's not. And you'd think that the royal palm was not, but it is.
So when was the moniker City of Palms first formally, you know, adopted?
Well, we're really looking at its genesis in the 20s.
Okay.
But again, you got to go back.
Okay.
Tootie McGregor.
Uh-huh.
Okay. One of the biggest contributors to the success of Fort Myers, a winter resident, the widow of Ambrose McGregor, the chairman of the board of Standard Oil of Ohio,
mm-hmm.
One of the richest women in the world. Her philanthropy was just exceptional. She loved the area and so forth. In 1912, she proposed to the county and the city that if they would match her from downtown to Whiskey Creek,
mm-hmm.
she would—
Which is from, what, 2-3 miles probably?
Yeah, uh-huh. She would pave from Whiskey Creek all the way to Punta Raza.
The way down to the beaches.
Which would open up everything.
Right, right.
It was just cattle trail basically, and it was called Riverside. And her single stipulation was that you name it after my husband, our deceased husband, who died in 1900, and you name it McGregor Boulevard. The next character that comes into that is after Tootie's death. Tootie died at about 7 months after making that proposal. And her husband, her second husband, mm-hmm. Marshall O'Terry carried forth her wishes, finished the project, and also provided the stipulated maintenance money for the next X number of years. Then you really go back and you have to integrate the Royal Palm.
Mm-hmm.
Tootie owned the Royal Palm Hotel
right.
by then from 1907. And so she was in love with the royal palms, and she thought it was quite a decoration. And so, again, coincidentally, she owned the Gilliard House.
Where was that?
That's in the future to become Ford's house next to Edison.
Oh, okay, okay.
Okay. So Edison says, look, I'll be happy to decorate, you know, and participate in this enthusiasm and so forth. So he basically bought 1,100 royal palms in Cuba. You know, it's interesting. It's native here, but most of ours are Cuban originally.
So it's native in Cuba as well?
Yeah.
Is it like a subspecies, or are they the same thing, basically?
Now, the people who preceded me know all that.
That's correct.
Okay. So anyhow, he bought 1,100. They all perished in Havana Harbor because they had a quarantine for yellow fever.
Oh.
And the
trees. Speaking of palm diseases.
Yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of palm diseases. Then subsequently, he purchased 700 in the Big Cypress Swamp.
Okay.
They also perished. And then post that, he purchased 1,300 from Cuba, and they were brought back and successfully planted.
And that was the beginning of McGregor Boulevard, as
go.
We know it.
There you go, in terms of all those palms, at least the vast majority of them. Now, interestingly, they were dying. Along comes James Henry Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he has a green thumb from the word go, has the big nursery. He's an agriculturalist. He's really quite the plant gentleman. Henry Jr. Is so enthusiastic, convinces the city to have a park commission.
Hmm.
And Evans and Jeffcoat, the two famous early ones,
mm-hmm.
Were joined in the commission, and they were able to rescue, if you will, all those palms and make sure that they retain their health. So it's James Henry Jr. that basically is credited generally with calling this the City of Palms.
Okay. Well, that's the story.
Yep.
You know, I didn't know that McGregor was first called Riverside because I live on the other side of downtown, and I'm on East Riverside.
Right.
So presumably it was Riverside
right.
and East
well,
Riverside.
Well, as you know, with our Fowlers and Winklers and everything else, we have roads, avenues, and they all cross each other. So you never know about the use of the word Riverside. Actually, if I were to go in, that's a whole other story about three or four of those.
So do you have a date on when it became the City of Palms? Is this like a something that's in
when
in
it
the
was adopted
books?
By
yeah,
council?
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't adopted by council until in the 20th century, later on.
Gotcha.
But it was all it started out nicknamed, and Henry is really responsible for the idea. He was just tremendous in terms of being responsible for making the city. Look like paradise.
Right. We only have a short bit of time left, but do you know anything about the history of the little park in downtown Fort Myers that's maybe a quarter of an acre and it's got about 30 or 40 different kinds of palm trees on it?
Oh, the history? It's right across from the old museum, History Museum.
Yeah.
It was, as far as its total history and its formality, it was really loaded with different types of palm trees even before it was designated as a park.
Right. It was just some place where people started putting trees.
It used to be several things in there, up to and including a milk company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And several other industries that were in there, and we're really looking at this late 60s, early 70s.
But last question. When did you first come to Fort Myers, and do you remember your first experience of McGregor Boulevard? Because it's pretty striking for people.
Well, my first experience was I owned a house here in 1973.
Okay.
And it was actually purchased remotely. And when I came here, that was my first experience driving down the boulevard. And I was seeking the Cape Coral Parkway Bridge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, that just solidified me in terms of Fort Myers. The rest of my career was out of Florida, and I retired and came right back here, and maybe part of it was McGregor Boulevard.
That is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest. Jim Powers is the historian at IMAG History and Science Center in Fort Myers. Jim, thanks for coming back in and sharing your insights with us.
And thank you, Mike.
Our show today was produced by Julie Glenn and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Mike Canary. This is WGCU-FM. Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.